Today, Good Friday, we celebrate the culmination, the real apogee, the apex of this jubilee of mercy, when Jesus poured out his love and mercy so that we might be redeemed. But I know it's not lost on any Sister of Life or any serious Catholic that this year Good Friday falls on March 25th, the day on which, from the earliest days of Christianity, the Church celebrated the solemnity of the Annunciation and the reality of Jesus' incarnation. Our first reaction when a liturgical collision happens like this is a little sadness that we can't celebrate both Good Friday and the mystery of the Annunciation when we should. Let's admit it. There's something a little off to celebrating the Annunciation on April 4th, as we will do this year. But at a much deeper level, it's extraordinarily fitting that we celebrate Good Friday on March 25th. Because in the early Church, many of the greatest fathers and figures were convinced not only that the Word of God was conceived on March 25th, but also died on March 25th. St. Augustine wrote in The City of God, "Now Christ died on the eighth day before the calends of April," which is March 25th. "He rose on the third day, as the apostles have proved by the evidence of their own senses." Tertullian said that it was under Tiberius Caesar, in the consulate of Rubellius Geminus at Fufius Geminus, in the month of March, at the time of the Passover, on the eighth day before the calends of April, again March 25th, on the first day of unleavened bread, on which they slew the lamb at eventide, just as had been enjoined by Moses. Hippolytus, the papal rival before his reconciliation with Pope Pontian and his martyrdom, wrote, "Our Lord was born on Wednesday, December 25th, in the 42nd year of the reign of Augustus. He suffered in the 33rd year on Friday, March 25th, in the 18th year of Tiberius." Many other sources, the earliest martyrologies, the famous liturgical chronography, Epiphanius of Salamis, Orosius of Bracara, Dionysius the Short, who reworked the calendar to try to center all time, year one, on Jesus' birth in Bethlehem, all give common witness to the understanding in the days of the early Church that the Word came forth from the Father and the Word entrusted Himself back to the Father on the same day. This day. And so, today, it's fitting for us to look at Good Friday from the perspective of the Incarnation and the Annunciation, because we can learn so much about what's happening today if we look at it from the perspective of what the Church celebrates every March 25th, a day so central to your spirituality as a Sister of Life. So first, the Incarnation. The letter of the Hebrews tells us, when He came into the world, He said, "Sacrifice and offering you didn't desire, but a body you prepared for me." The Word of God assumed a body so that He could give that body in expiation. As Jesus would say elsewhere, "I desire mercy, not sacrifice." And He received a body so that He would be able to give it mercifully for the salvation of us and the world. That body that He had received would eventually become the Paschal Lamb to take away the world's sins. What He received from Mary on March 25th, He gave back to the Father three decades later on the same day. The Word of God's humility in assuming the form of a slave in the womb of the Virgin of Nazareth showed even greater humility in allowing Himself to be imprisoned to the cross. But because the quiet of the house in Nazareth and the clamor of the place of the skull outside of Jerusalem are so different, we nevertheless have to work harder to recognize that we're celebrating the same continuous mystery, that God so loved the world that He gave His only Son so that all who believed in him might not perish but might have eternal life. That Christ took on our humanity so that we might be made partakers of his divinity. That he took on our body so that we might be able to become members of his body as a bride united to a bridegroom on the marriage bed of the cross, in the union of love consummated for the bride's and the world's redemption. That's what helps make this Friday, above all, good. That's what makes our bitter beholding of Jesus' bruises and buffets, his crown of thorns, his lacerated back, his pierced hands, his feet and side, so paradoxically sweet. As one of you told me, he loved us so much, we were so precious in his eyes, that he was willing to enter our world, even enter our suffering and death, so that we could in turn enter his kingdom and in his triumph over suffering, over death, and over what leads to it, sin. That's the first great connection, that Jesus came into this world, took on our flesh in the incarnation, precisely to offer it in mercy today. Second great mystery we celebrate annually on March 25th is Mary's involvement in the incarnation of the Word, the dialogue between the Archangel Gabriel and the woman whom God the Father chose to be the mother of his Son, and that Son chose from the cross to be our spiritual mother. So we were pondering a little bit earlier today in the seven last words, when the Archangel Gabriel had appeared to Mary to reveal to her role in the salvation of the human race. He told her that the Son who would be conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit would be Yeshua, God saves. That he would be the Son, not just of David, but the Son of God Most High. And that he would rule not only over the house of Jacob, but everything forever. Her response to that first annunciation was a total cooperation. Fiat mihi secundum verbum tuum. Let it happen to me according to your word. But that was just the first annunciation that happened to Mary. She would discover soon thereafter, as we discussed earlier, that fiat would at times become bitter. And it led to the second annunciation that she herself had received when she presented Jesus in the temple. And Simeon, for God, announced that not only was her Son the light of the revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of the people Israel, but that he would be a sign of contradiction for the resurrection and the ruin of many. And that her own heart, her own soul, a sword would pierce, so that the thoughts of many hearts would be revealed. In response to that second annunciation, Mary once again said a wholehearted fiat. And that second annunciation, along with the first, leads to the third today, in which we don't have an angel bathed in light. We don't have an 80-year-old man moved by the Holy Spirit. We have our own Son from the cross. Say, woman, behold your Son. And in that third annunciation, Mary likewise said, fiat. St. John Paul II, commenting on this, said that Mary's faith, which Elizabeth praised as a result of that first annunciation, that continued to grow when she was purified, presenting her Son Jesus in the temple and redeeming him back, reached its zenith on Calvary. And we can truly say about her there, blessed is she who believed. St. John Paul II said these words spoken by Elizabeth after the Annunciation at the foot of the cross seemed to re-echo with supreme eloquence the power contained within them. And it becomes for us something penetrating from the cross, that is, from the very heart of the mystery of redemption, there radiates and spreads out the prospect of a true blessing and faith if we receive from Christ the gift of His mother and begin to relate to Christ in His mercy through that unbelievable bequeathal. We invoke Mary under the title of Mercy. Hail, Holy Queen, Mother of Mercy. We sing to her in the various litanies as a Queen of Mercy. In the Alma Redemptoris Mater, the Hail Mother of the Redeemer, we ask her to hasten to lift up her sons and daughters who have fallen. We finish another by just saying, Miserere. We turn to her for mercy. In the most famous prayer of all, we say, Pray for us sinners, Mother of God, now and at the hour of our death. Just as Mary was present at the death of her son, so she wants to be present with us under all and any of our crosses. And it's from her constant fiat that we learn how to say our own. Today on this Good Friday, on March 25th, as we remember that Christ took on our nature and entered our world in order to save us on this day, and in rising from the dead 40 hours down the road, lift us up and make it possible for us to share Mary's eternal joy at her son's and the Father's eternal right side. We can ponder in a different way that great prayer of the Angelus, which we'll have a chance to say for the last time tomorrow, when in this case, the true messenger of God, the Angelus Domini, Christ Himself, the supreme messenger of mercy, says, Behold your son. And she, in a sense, bore this mystery within her in pain and suffering. Behold the handmaid of the Lord, we see her standing at the foot of the cross. And she says again, Let it be done to me according to your word and will. We know that the word took flesh and dwelled among us, dwelled within her, and she's the one who helps us to ponder that mystery so that that same son, whom we'll receive later on in this passion service, will be welcomed with similar love. But then it's that closing prayer in which we unite the incarnation to the passion, to the resurrection. As we pray, pour forth, we beseech you, O Lord, your grace into our hearts, that we to whom the incarnation was revealed by the message of an angel, may by his passion and cross we celebrate today, be brought to the glory of his resurrection. One last thought. I was asking one of you a couple weeks ago to give me a little bit of an insight the way a sister of life enters into these mysteries. And when I asked her about Good Friday, she said, having been present at the birth of so many women, that what comes out at that birth is blood and water everywhere. And at the birth of the church, as Mary was experience in those labor pains she never did at Christ's birth, out anew came that blood and water. That blood and water that cleanses us, that blood and water that leads us to the sacraments, that blood and water that is meant to lead us to the salvation Mary is praying that we grasp onto today. Your life is one constantly connecting the mystery of the Incarnation and the mystery of Good Friday. May the Lord strengthen us today to be able to live both of these mysteries more profoundly so that we might experience their interconnection here in this world and what they lead to forever in that place where Christ is won by what we celebrate today.